Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Look in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 42. We're not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read some sections to you. But if you start in Jeremiah 42, and I'm going to give you a second to get there. Jeremiah chapter 42. Because of the sin of God's people, and I mean blatant, protracted, unrepentant sin of God's people, God had sent judgment on them, just as he had promised. And people like Daniel had been carried off to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked pagan king of Babylon, had devastated Jerusalem. The temple had been destroyed. The city had been destroyed. Didn't have defenses. Tons of people had been killed. Lots of other people literally had starved. I mean, it was a dreadful situation. In chapter 42, then all the commanders of the armies, along with Johanan, son of Kareah, Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest approached the prophet Jeremiah and said, "May our petition come before you. Pray to the Lord your God on our behalf, on behalf of this entire remnant, for few of us remain out of the many, as you can see with your own eyes, that the Lord your God may tell us the way we should go and the thing we should do." Okay, now pause right there. Is that a good idea? If you've just been through a disaster that was something God said was going to happen, Jeremiah was the one who said this is going to happen, other false prophets were saying, no, God loves you, everything's going to be fine, no problem at all, okay? God doesn't mind the things you've been doing. You just trust in the Lord and you'll be fine. And God was saying, if you trust in me, repent. And the people didn't repent, and judgment came. And so now the remnant comes to Jeremiah and they say, "Would you please ask God what he wants us to do? Because we want to do whatever God says." That sounds like the right thing to do, doesn't it? Sure. As long as you mean it. But if you're just saying, "We want you to ask God what to do," because you want to try and get God on your side so that you can do what you want to do, because you still don't really want to surrender to God, then let me tell you something. You are setting yourself up for more trouble. And that's what these folks did. If you look at the passage, they said, "Pray to the Lord, your God, notice, on our behalf, on behalf of this entire remnant, that the Lord your God may tell us the way we should go and the thing we should do." So the prophet Jeremiah said to them, "I've heard. I will now pray to the Lord your God." Well, what did he just do? They're saying, "Pray to the Lord your God." He says, "I'm going to pray to the Lord your God." Don't forget, there's only one God. These people had been following other gods. Jeremiah is calling them back. So the prophet Jeremiah said to them, "I've heard. I'll now pray to the Lord your God according to your words and will tell you every word that the Lord answers you. I won't withhold a word from you." And they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we don't act according to every word the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you so that it may go well with us. We will certainly obey the Lord our God." Hey, now we're on the same page. Now we're going forward. They're saying, even if we don't like what God says, we're going to obey. Is that good? It is if you mean it. So, Jeremiah, at the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he summoned Johanan, son of Kareah, all the commanders of the armies who were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest, and he said to them, "This is what the Lord says, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to bring your petition before him. If you will indeed stay in this land, then I will rebuild and not demolish you, and I will plant and not uproot you, because I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought on you. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Don't be afraid of him. This is the Lord's declaration, because I am with you to save you and rescue you from him. I will grant you compassion, and he will have compassion on you and allow you to return to your own soil. But if you say, 'We will not stay in this land,' in order to disobey the Lord your God, and if you say, 'No, instead we will go to the land of Egypt, where we will not see war or hear the sound of the ram's horn or hunger for food, and we'll live there,' then hear the word of the Lord, remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. If you are firmly resolved to go to Egypt and stay there for a while, then the sword you fear will overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine you are worried about will follow on your heels there to Egypt, and you will die there. All who resolve to go to Egypt to stay there for a little while will die by the sword, famine, and plague. They will have no survivor or fugitive from the disaster I will bring on them." Okay. They said, find out what God wants us to do, and whether we like it or not, we will do whatever the Lord says. So God says, stay where you are. I'll take care of you. If you try and run away in order to protect yourself, I'll see to it you're destroyed. Hey, if that's what God says, what's the smart thing to do? Ladies and gentlemen, stay where you are. Don't go to Egypt. Obey the Lord. Keep your promise to him. Obvious, isn't it? If you were called in as a consultant to these people, what would you tell them to do? Stay put. Don't move. Don't go to Egypt. Don't do that. So what do you think they did? Just take a guess or look at the text. Chapter 43. When Jeremiah had finished speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, all these words the Lord their God had sent him to give them, then Azariah, son of Hoshaiah, Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the other arrogant men responded to Jeremiah, "You are speaking a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you must not go to Egypt to stay there for a while. Rather, Baruch, son of Neriah, is inciting you against us to hand us over to the Chaldeans to put us to death or to deport us to Babylon." And so what'd they do? All the people, verse 4, failed to obey the Lord's command to stay in the land of Judah. Instead, Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the armies led away the whole remnant of Judah, those who had returned to stay in the land of Judah from all the nations where they had been banished. They led away the men, women, children, kings, daughters, and everyone whom Nebuzaradan, captain of the guards, had allowed to remain with Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. son of Shaphan. They also led away the prophet Jeremiah and Baruch, son of Neriah. And they went to the land of Egypt because they did not obey the Lord. So the Lord sends them a message. They get down to Egypt, and the Lord sends them a message there. And he says, this place is going to be destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar, whom you feared, is going to come down here and bring destruction. Now, when God says, this is what I'm going to do, look over in chapter 44, verse 7. Now, this is what the Lord, the God of armies, the God of Israel, says. Why are you doing such terrible harm to yourselves? I just want you to pause for a moment and digest that. Why are you doing such terrible harm to yourselves? Do you understand that when you disobey God, you are harming yourself? God is not cruel. God is merciful and kind. God is patient and generous. But if you are refusing to do what God says, the consequence is that you harm yourself. Saturday night, we had a birthday party at our house. We got to talking about raising children because there was a multitude of children in the house. I think we had 13 children in the house. And we were talking about child rearing, and we were talking about some of the things that kids do and the propensity of children, because of human nature, to do what they're told not to do. And I brought up the fact that years ago, when I was doing more parenting conferences, I used to routinely tell parents they needed to understand the nature of a child, and that part of that sin nature manifests itself in a determination to do whatever you're told not to. And so the expression is, if you want to see a child put beans up his nose, tell him not to and then leave the room. Okay? Because what's the kid going to do? Now, he's never even thought of putting beans up his nose. But now that he's been told not to, he's going to want to see why not. Now, I'm sorry, folks, but that's just sin nature. And we all inherited it. Wherever the line is, don't touch that. Well, I want to know why. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? And so the forbidden becomes the desired. In the Garden of Eden, there was one tree they couldn't eat the fruit from. Everything else was fine. So what did Satan do? He got them to want the one thing that was forbidden. So, when you do that, you harm yourself. Why are you doing such terrible harm to yourselves? You're cutting off man and woman, infant and nursing baby from Judah, leaving yourselves without a remnant. You're angering me by the work of your hands. You're burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt, where you've gone to stay for a while. As a result, you will be cut off and become an example for cursing and insult among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the evils of your fathers, the evils of Judah's kings, the evils of their wives, your own evils, and the evils of your wives that were committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They have not become humble to this day, and they have not feared or followed my instruction or my statutes that I set before you and your ancestors. What's God saying? These people were saying, why should we obey God when he's brought all this harm on us? And God says, no, you have brought this harm on yourself by refusing to do what I command. I read the testimonies of several professed atheists who used to be in ministry. People who used to be in Christian bands, and people who used to write Christian songs, and People who used to pastor churches and things like that, now they claim they don't believe in God. Well, I don't believe in their God either. You see, the problem is they never knew the God who is God. And so in every case that I read, one guy said, I didn't like having to follow rules. That's a preschooler statement. How juvenile do you have to be to think that you can be someone who just lives life with no rules? If you think you're going to live with no rules, you've just made a rule against rules. Nobody is really a moral relativist. People just use that as a stupid, dishonest crock in order to try and defend their own actions. As C.S. Lewis said, it's fine until somebody steals your bicycle. That's the truth. So these folks are blaming God instead of repenting of their sin. God says, why are you harming yourself?
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Verse 11, and he's holding out his hand. I'm about to set my face against you to bring disaster, to cut off all Judah. So what'd the people do? Verse 15. However, all the men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other gods, all the women standing by, a great assembly, all the people who were living in the land of Egypt at Pathros answered Jeremiah, as for the word you spoke to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you. Instead, we will do everything we promised. We will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and offer drink offerings to her, just as we, our fathers, our kings, and our officials did in Judah's cities and in Jerusalem's streets. Then we had enough food. We were well off, and we saw no disaster. But from the time we ceased to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to offer her drink offerings, we have lacked everything. And through sword and famine, we've met our end. And the women said, when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, was it apart from our husband's knowledge that we made sacrificial cakes in her image and poured out drink offerings to her? But Jeremiah responded to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people who were answering him, as for the incense you burned in Judah's cities and in Jerusalem's streets, you, your fathers, your official, your kings, your officials, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? He brought this to mind. The Lord can no longer bear your evil deeds and the detestable acts you have committed. So your land has become a waste, a desolation, and an example for cursing without inhabitant as you see today. Because you burned incense and sinned against the Lord and didn't obey the Lord and didn't follow his instructions, his statutes, and his testimonies, this disaster has come to you as you see today. Well, let me tell you something. It's not enough to say it. These people said it. They said, we'll do whatever God says. But they didn't mean it. You need to decide if you mean it. Do you really believe that God is God? Or are you still worshiping somebody who's supposed to give you what you want, when you want it, the way you want it, because you want it? I told you about some of those professed atheists who said, I didn't like following rules. The majority of them had some experience. One couple had difficulty getting pregnant. Another couple had a child with Down syndrome. various people had problems that came. And because they felt they'd been doing what God said and now something I didn't want has happened to me, they turned against God and decided, I don't believe in God. If you think that God is a giant vending machine and all you've got to do is put in your prayer or do something that God says and then everything's supposed to go your way, you're supposed to be able to punch the button and get what you want, you are worshiping a false God. And if you come to the point where you no longer believe in that God, good for you, you might be on the way to getting saved someday. But the God who is God, he is not like a giant vending machine. You don't manipulate him. And the fact that he doesn't strike you dead when he does see what you do is not an indication that he doesn't care. The amazing thing is that God cares about all of us so much that he is giving people time to repent. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. God in his mercy is patiently giving people time to repent, opportunity to turn aside from wickedness, giving us the chance to truly surrender our lives to him. Do not think that if you follow the rules, then everything will go the way you want it. If you follow the rules, you will endure hardship. Jesus said, rejoice when they persecute you for righteousness' sake. Don't think that if you do what God says, it's only going to rain when I want it to. Okay? It's not the way it works. It's not the way life is. We live in a world that is filled with suffering. This world is not our home. We are to live as aliens and strangers here, looking forward to that day when we will see him face to face, the one who loved us enough to come and take the punishment we deserve for our sins, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you think, well, you know, all religions are basically the same, you're ignorant. You haven't even done your homework. But if you realize there is one who did what he said, who rose from the dead, and he is my Lord and my God, then bow to him and say, Lord, have your way with me. Even as we sang this morning, have your way, Lord. My life in your hands. If that's your prayer and that's your longing, then I can guarantee on the authority of God's word that in the end, you will be blessed and you will not be disappointed. God's people get sick. God's people get in car wrecks. God's people experience financial difficulty. But God uses everything for the good of his people. And I look back on my life and some of the biggest disappointments I had along the way were God's mercy protecting me. As one preacher put it, thank God for the closed door that prevents us from spending years in the wrong room. Amen? God knows what he's doing. He loves you. Don't disobey. Yield your life to him. You will not regret it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make,
I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.